Cozy TV.
Boy, you folks really liked that adventure on Friday. If you haven't seen that show, check it out. Of me approaching a man, an elderly man on a scooter with the words Jesus Saves on the back of his scooter. That was unlike me. Very unlike me. I blame it on the endorphins because I was running at the time. And so I was not in my right mind. Otherwise, I never would have gone up to that guy because I'm shy. No, it's true. I am. I don't cold call people. Others are very good at that, and they love to cold call people. They want the man on the street interview. In fact, you want me to do more of that. Several of you said, Martin, we would appreciate you doing more of this. It's not my calling. I'm not an Ace Theo. Ace Theo can go against these rock hard brick wall Christians, and he has the patience to take these people on, to listen to them. And good for Ace. I mean, that's a valuable thing. It's good, I think, for us to hear what the enemy has to say. Number one, it helps sharpen us as far as how to combat the error. And number two, it helps us to appreciate more and more the grace and the realization that God has given to us. So it's not that I can't do it. I just don't want to do it. It's not my calling. My calling is to make the videos, to write the books that you can hand out to people. I mean, if somebody comes up to me, I'm there. I'm all there. I would love for somebody to come up to me with a camera and ask me questions. That would be great. But I am not going to go up to people generally. So, in fact, I visited a guy who was a big fan of my work years ago, and he would hand out my books to homeless people, and he wanted me to go with him to show me what he did. And the whole time, I'm like hiding behind him. I just didn't want to confront people. It's not my thing, like I said. So he was so incredulous about it. He goes, Martin Zender, what's wrong with you? I said, this is your calling, not mine. I'd be hiding behind trees, hiding behind. He was a big guy, which is a good thing, because I'd be hiding behind him. This man wrote this book and he wants you to read it. No, I don't know. He wants you to read it. You can read it if you want. If you don't want, don't read it. I don't like to bother people. I really don't like to bother people. So I'll provide the material and you can go out and bother people. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to a new week of MZTV. I'm telling you one thing I realized. I'm going to play a couple 90-second clips. It'd be great for you to go back to Friday's show, watch the whole show. I'm going to play a couple 90-second clips. And I really learned something as I reanalyzed this. I listened to this guy. I looked up his verse from 1 Peter 2:24. And I tried to find a hole in it to make it not say what he was saying it said. But I couldn't do it because the verse was saying what he said it was saying. I'll give you my conclusion before I get into the meat of this program. My conclusion is, I mean, I thought I knew of the gulf that existed between Paul's gospel and Israel's gospel. I mean, I wrote the book on it, right? First Idiot in Heaven. But I see now that, folks, unless there is a beginning understanding, before you talk to anyone, unless there is this basic understanding that there are two gospels in the New Testament, the gospel to Israel and the gospel given to Paul for the nations, you will talk and talk and talk and you're missing. Everything is missing, 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 missing. It's like you're talking two different languages. No, it is talking two completely different languages. We use words like the cross. They talk about the sacrifice, the lamb sacrificed for sin. We talk about justification. They talk about forgiveness and pardon. We talk about grace. They talk about works. It's a complete miss, and you are completely wasting your time I mean, you could still do it if you want to. But as I realized this more and more after this encounter, that there is a vast gulf that has no, I was almost going to say it has no common ground, but the Lord is the Savior of both parties, of the nations and Israel. But the details just don't jive. And of course, they were not meant to. And again, unless this understanding exists, you cannot talk to people. I was trying to force this guy to see things my way. I was coming at him completely from Paul's gospel. In my mind, the first and foremost was justification. Christ took away our sin. This guy said, no, Christ didn't take away our sin. I said, what? And I'm talking about grace, and he says the word grace, but he has no idea what it means. No idea. It's a foreign language. I mean, in a way, this is really disappointing. Because you would think we would have some common ground. But the common ground is not enough to overtake the differences. You just can't talk to people who don't understand the difference between justification and pardon, between the cross of Christ and Christ as the sacrifice for Israel, between repentance and justification. This guy, like Johnny Green and Caitlin Green, brought up repentance, and that is essential in the circumcision gospel, in the Israel gospel. Not essential. Not required in our gospel. You're going to hear in the second clip that this guy's name's Jim. I call him Honest Jim because he actually stated that Jesus Christ took away no sins at the cross, which he's wrong about that. I'm not giving the guy a free pass. He's still a Pharisee. He's still self-righteous as hell because he believes in free will. So even as an Israelite, he doesn't make the grade because, as Paul says in Romans 10, Honest Jim is seeking to establish his own righteousness, and he thinks he's doing it independently of God. So even an Israelite has to put their confidence in Christ, their hope in Christ, but it is still, and we say this, and how many times have I said this? Israel gospel is a cooperative gospel. It's a mix of works and grace. And even our friends here commenting who don't understand that there are two gospels, who still insist that there's one gospel. If you're insisting that there's one gospel and it's going to be miss. We're going to be talking Japanese. They're going to be talking Spanish. And we're going to miss more than we connect. And this guy, of course, believes in eternal torment. So that's a mess. That's horrible. That's terrible. At least Johnny and Caitlin Green believe in the salvation of all. But they don't understand justification any more than Honest Jim does. Doesn't understand it at all. At one point he says you can't be justified and still sin. It won't work. As if justification is a reward for not sinning. And I'm seeing it more and more. The emphasis of the Israel gospel is sin. It is a complete focus, even an infatuation, an emphasis on sin, on your sin. That's the case with Johnny and Caitlin Green. Repentance and sin. But Paul is so far away from that. So far away from that. And the people who are promoting the Israel gospel cannot wrap their heads around the fact that we're declared to be righteous in spite of our sin. It's impossible for them, apart from a spiritual revelation. Impossible. And they prove it every time they open their mouths. They prove it. And there's no talking to them. I mean, I can't say there's no talking to them. You can talk to them, but this is why Paul says after one and a second admonition, I'm going to paraphrase him now, then give up. turn around and go the other way. I'm not going to approach this guy again. He gave me his email address, but I'm not going to email him. A couple of you said were very gracious and very optimistic. You said, well, I hope you can get some videos to him and convince him. No, I'm not. That's not my job. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. He's too far gone. For the first 5 years of this work, I used to write 40-page letters to pastors. I used to debate ministers and Baptists. And after 5 years, maybe it was less than that, probably 3 years, I just said, forget it. It's not my calling. I'm going to record the truth. I'm going to write books, write newsletters, make videos to record the truth so that the truth is on record and so that the truth is communicated clearly. And then I'm happy to hand somebody a book and run. Yeah. Or to have, better yet, have somebody else hand somebody a book, like my friend who was passing books out on the street and he just couldn't believe. I thought, you're bold, Martin. I am bold, but I'll tell you what. I'll write the books and you hand them out. How's that? Is that good? Okay. So I'm going to play first clip. It's a 90-second clip here. And this is when Honest Jim talks about 1 Peter 2:24. My question is, why can't I just get to heaven on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice alone, on the basis of the cross? That's a Paul teaching. Simply on the basis of the cross alone? This is the thing. We so have realized this, that the cross alone, the cross by itself with nothing added, you know what? That is a complete Paul teaching. You will not find that teaching in Peter, James, or John. The cross alone saves. No. I'm not saying that the cross didn't ultimately save everyone. Of course it did. And I quoted the guy, John 1:29. The second clip you're going to hear is when he starts talking about Jesus Christ didn't take away your sins at the cross. I'm like, what? I quoted John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Isn't that an Israel truth? But they don't understand that verse. It's like John is the most far-reaching of the apostles, and he that was very intuitive of him, but I don't think he himself understood it. Takes away the sins of the world. And Honest Jim had a point. Really, in Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized. For what purpose, Peter? Let's look at it. Acts 2, verse 38. Now, Peter is averring to them, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the pardon of your sins. So I can see where this guy in the scooter is coming from. I come up to him, tell him that Jesus Christ took away your sins. And he's saying, no, you have to repent or your sins are still on you. I said, your sins aren't still on you. Miss. Because we're talking about two different gospels. I'm speaking Japanese, he's speaking Spanish. No, doesn't compute. It was totally frustrating. That's what Peter says here. For the pardon of your sins. If Jesus Christ and Honest Jim would say, well, Jesus, if you're telling me Martin Zenner, Jesus Christ took away my sins on the cross, then why do I have to, why does Peter, post-crucifixion, tell people to repent and baptize for the pardon of their sins? Apparently their sins are still on them. Can I argue with that? In the circumcision gospel, no, I cannot argue with that. It's true. Their sins are still on them, in the relative. They do have to repent of those sins or they will miss out on aeonian life. In the absolute sense, their sins are gone because the whole human race is justified. But they're not anywhere near that truth. And as I've told you, even in 1,000 years, Israel doesn't approach that truth, even in 1,000 years. So how am I expecting some elderly gentleman on a scooter in Fort Lauderdale to apprehend it? He's got Acts 2:38. He's got 1 Peter 2:24. Let's play this first clip when I ask him about how I can get to heaven on simply the cross of Christ by itself without my contribution. Here's what Honest Jim had to say about that. Well, I'm just really curious as to, like, why I can't get to heaven just on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice.
Because
Here's the answer.
Epistle of Peter, he said, he himself bore our sins on the cross.
Yes.
Why? So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
What happened to Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world?
That's right.
But
he died for them. He died for them so that we would die to them. That's the verse I just told you. Die to sin, live to righteousness. There's your answer right there.
So do I have to stop sinning? That's a serious question.
You better stop sinning.
I have to stop sinning?
You better.
Why? But Jesus Christ died for my sins.
No.
So I can commit 100 sins today.
He died for them so that you would die to them.
And you say nothing happened at the crucifixion of Christ. Nothing happened.
No, wait a minute. Did I say nothing?
Okay.
Did I not say he died for? He died for our sins.
Yeah. And where does that leave us?
Right there.
Does that leave us?
Because now the ball is in your court.
Now the ball's in my court. So you're
you have to die to what he died for.
Okay, so his big verse, his big gun, he brought it up more than once. 1 Peter 2:24. And as I researched this after I got home from this, I realized he's quoting from the New International Version. And here it is. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. That's exactly what Honest Jim quoted here. He had this verse memorized. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins. Now, when I hear died to sins, I immediately go to Romans 6. We were crucified with Christ and we have died to our sins. But the circumcision, even though they're using that phrase here, they don't see it that way at all because sins are still on them, which is true. Their misses are still hanging over their head post-crucifixion, and if they don't repent of those sins, they will miss out on aeonian life. I'm hearing one thing, and he's hearing a completely different thing. So what he was saying was, yes, Jesus Christ bore our sins, but it didn't do anything. But for an Israelite, they would have to ask the same thing. It's almost as if the thing that we hate, when we say that the cross was an offer, we hate that. We know it's not true. We are so far ahead spiritually and in the realization of the truth. For Israel, it kind of like is an offer. It wasn't presented to them as complete. Don't get me wrong. Again, the cross was complete. But remember, the consummations of the eons have attained to us, so we're way far ahead of Israel. We're at the consummation of the eons. And we know that sin has been completely conquered and that the cross is not an offer. And yet it's presented to Israel as an opportunity. It's hard for you and me to wrap our heads around that, but that's the way they're seeing it. So I thought, well, maybe I'll look this up in the Concordant version. Maybe this is a translation issue. So here's 1 Peter 2:24 from the Concordant version. Who himself carries up our sins in his body onto the pole, that coming away from sins, we should be living for righteousness. Yeah, I tried to read it out of the Concordant version and make it say something the opposite of what Honest Jim was saying. But Peter does say, and then coming away from sins, we should be living for righteousness. Actually, Honest Jim would be better served quoting from the Concordant version because it really supports his viewpoint even more. So that we might die to sins. That sounds a lot like Paul, but it sounds nothing like Paul when you read it from the Concordant version, that coming away from sins. That is, repent of your sins. Walk away from them. We aren't even recognizing them because of that high-tech, super-spiritual truth of justification. That, I'm telling you, if you want to know where somebody stands, just mention that we're declared to be righteous by God no matter what we do. It's the no matter what we do part that they cannot wrap their heads around. They can't. Now let's get to the second clip here. He starts this way. You can't be justified and still sin. It won't work. You can't be justified. And what we of course we can. We know we're still sinners, but we also know we're justified. Justified is a declaration of God based on what his son did, and it has nothing to do with whether we sin or not, because it's according to what Christ did, not according to what we do. We're not called in accord with our acts, 2 Timothy 1:9. So that statement alone proves that Honest Jim has no idea what justification is. Neither do Johnny and Caitlin Green. No idea, because they're still teaching repentance. There's another big word. I would say the two words to look for are justification. And don't allow Christians just to say it. Ask them what it means. Or tell them what it means. And make sure you emphasize the "we're still sinning" part, because that's the part they can't tolerate. Declared to be righteous by God in spite of our sins. He says you can't be justified and still sin. I'm thinking, yeah, of course you can. That's the whole idea of it, is that this is not based on me, it's based on Christ. And then he added, it won't work. It won't work. What do you mean it won't work? Justification won't work unless you stop sinning. He also said, it might be in the coming clip, I think he said that, yeah, he said that grace, I don't know if I put this in the clip, he said that grace doesn't work unless you stop sinning. So grace doesn't work unless you stop sinning. Justification doesn't work unless you stop sinning. Let's listen to this second clip, and then I will comment on the other side.
You can't be justified and still sin. Won't work.
It won't work. You can't be justified and still sin.
That's right.
But sin is, again, the very thing Jesus came to die for. That's why I'm not following you. It sounds like Jesus did not take away any sin, because it's still hanging over my head.
That's right.
He doesn't take them away
until you repent.
Okay, so, now we're getting down to the brass tacks.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ did not take away sin. You're admitting.
On the cross.
He did not on
no,
the cross
No, he died for him.
But he didn't take them away.
That's right.
He did not take
that's
away.
That's right.
But John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
That's right.
But
repent.
You say, that depends on my cooperation.
You got to repent.
So I'm the most important side of the equation. When it comes to God's part and my part, God's part was Christ. My part, and apparently Christ didn't do the whole job. He didn't finish it on the cross. It's up to me now to be saved. It's up to me.
That's right.
You're making
That's
it
right.
up to a human being to
That's
save
right.
himself.
That's right.
And Christ didn't do it.
That's
Boy.
Right.
That's
You're confusing what he did on the cross. You're thinking that he took the sins of the world away. He did not.
Yeah, he bore the sins on himself.
That's
and
right.
took them away.
But he did. That didn't take them away.
He sure did. He said, my sins are far away as the east is from the west.
No.
Well, that explains your position. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm glad you're the only guy I've seen who's at least honest enough to say that Jesus Christ did not take away your sins.
On the cross, that's right.
I wish more people would be that honest. Then more people would be repelled. There you go. It's up to me to be saved. But that is how the circumcision gospel is presented. Isn't that how Peter presented it in Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized. Two things you have to do. Repent and be baptized. Get dunked in water for the pardon of your sins. So, as much as we hate that phrase, balls in your court. We hate that phrase. It is so antithetical to Paul's gospel. We hate it. We shudder at it. We run from it. And yet, that's the Israel gospel. And when they're pardoned, that is not a permanent state. They have to maintain the pardon. I mean, I wrote the book, and I'm realizing after this that the gulf is even deeper and wider than I even thought. and that any conversation is doomed without a recognition of these two gospels. And this makes me more than ever appreciate the fact that God has given us, he's visited the consummations of the eons. I see that verse being so important now, 1 Corinthians 10:11. He's taking all the amazing things he's going to accomplish at the ends of the eons, and he dumps them on us in a good way. Dumps them on us. Gives us an understanding of what he's done through the cross. And these Israelite people are still just tiptoeing through the landmine of sin. They're still having to be careful of everything they do. They still have to present themselves worthy. They have to produce fruit worthy of repentance. They have to repent constantly. They do. They have to do all that stuff because that's their message. It is not our message. It's not. And so I am rejoicing more and more at the miracle of God enabled us to understand the truth of justification by faith, the truth of what the cross has meant and will mean for the entire universe, what the love of God will accomplish, and the fact that it is God accomplishing all of it. There's no such thing as independent human will. There's no such thing as anyone being able to operate independently of God. That is so juvenile. That doesn't even belong to the Israel gospel. As primitive and as Stone Age-ish as the Israel gospel still is, free will doesn't even belong to it. Eternal torment certainly doesn't belong to it. So in that sense, Honest Jim is doomed. As you've heard me say, Satan invented the teaching of eternal torment to drive people into free will, and Honest Jim is bought into it. Boom, just the whole thing. And that dooms him even in the circumcision gospel. But this other stuff, Jesus Christ didn't take away sin for Israel. He didn't finish it. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he's talking about the consummations of the eons. I don't think Israel can even understand that. I don't think they can even understand it is finished. Jim sure as hell didn't understand it. Johnny and Caitlin don't understand that it is finished. That's the consummations of the eons coming to us. All the information that the world is going to get 10,000 years from now, we now have. Who the hell are we going to talk to except each other?